Welcome to the Writer Experience Podcast, presented by FlickeringMyth.com. I'm your host, Court Dunn. Join us as we talk to writers about their work, their process, and what it means to be a writer. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/writerexperience. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to the Writer Experience Podcast. Today's guest is Mike Zagari. Mike is a 20-year veteran of the comics industry with experience at Marvel, Disney, Lucasfilm, DC Comics, and AMC Networks. He received his BFA from the School of Visual Arts. Throughout his career, Mike has been deeply involved in every aspect of the comics industry. Mike is currently Chief Creative Officer with The Lab Press. Their debut graphic novel is Essentials, written by Black Sails star Luke Arnold and Emmy-nominated writer-producer Chris Doc Wyatt. Essentials is an epic, reality-hopping sci-fi adventure featuring art from Jason Howard, Vince Locke, Glenn Fabry, Danny, M.K. Perker, Andrea Muti, with a cover from Bill Sienkiewicz. You can get Essentials on Kickstarter now. Mike, we are very excited to have you back on the show today. I just want to preface you coming back on the show because you are one of our very first guests. So it's really amazing to bring it full circle, have you back on the show years later, and to see you in this new role as Chief Creative Officer. So welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. And thank you for inviting me to come back onto the show. I'm really excited to chat today.
Now, I don't know if you remember, it was years ago, but our first question is always, where are you in the world right now? We've asked that as the first question for years, all the way through the pandemic when people were working from home. I happen to know that you're based on the East Coast, but for those listening who don't know, where do you live? Where do you work? Walk us through, you know, where you are in the world.
It's a great question. And as you noted, since we've last previously connected, a lot has happened in the world. So there is a lot of ups and downs. And what's really exciting is a whole lot of ups here since joining the Lab Press and being both Chief Creative Officer and partner. And to answer your question, I'm based in New York. And we do have offices here in the New York area, as well as on the West Coast in the Los Angeles area. But the great part is that we have a solid working strategy where I can do most of my work remotely. And we predominantly catch up with the rest of the core team when we go to various conventions and festivals throughout the year.
And when we last had you on, you were at AMC Networks. I know you have, you know, as we mentioned in your bio, Marvel, Disney, Lucasfilm, DC Comics, AMC Networks. You've worked for all of these amazing companies that people would just love to work for, any one of them. So can you walk us through kind of, not to put you on the spot, but the career trajectory from how you got to, you know, obviously working in comics through AMC Networks, all the way back to comics at this point. Mind just giving us a run through there?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've been really fortunate to work at all the different locations that you just mentioned. Really exciting places, but even more important to me, really exciting people and really lifelong friends that I've made from each one of those spots. So I can kind of describe a little bit chronologically. After graduating from School of Visual Arts, I think my first big sort of step in my career was joining DC Comics. And I worked my way from all the way up the chain there and became an art director on both physical and digital comics and stories and interactive media. We were in the creative services department, which meant we were the Swiss Army knife of DC Comics, working on all the really specialty comics, specialty magazines, and specialty motion graphic and interactive comics. So really kind of on the forefront of innovation when it came to DC, and that was really exciting. They were moving towards the end of my time there to the West Coast, and they were gracious enough to give me an offer to the West Coast. At the time, I was a stubborn New Yorker and decided that wished DC Comics all the best, but I stayed in New York, and that's where I started freelancing for Marvel. And I was working specifically with Marvel Publishing and Marvel Studios. And that is where we created some really high-end coffee table books based upon the first MCU films, such as Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Captain America, and Thor. while working on those high quality coffee table books, which went into deep detail about all of the pre-production and production for those four films, I landed a spot on a full-time job with Disney Marvel in the New York offices, working on, again, innovative next-generation storytelling, more focused on all ages and family-friendly content and comics. After working there for some time, I was given the offer, along with the rest of the organization, to move to the West Coast. And so second time's the charm. That time I said yes. And that move to the West Coast, which was over 80 individuals across Disney Marvel, landed us in Los Angeles, where then we started to grow even further, work a lot on Pixar properties. And then the big Lucasfilm acquisition happened. And next thing you know, I'm working on a ton of Star Wars projects, really exciting aspects. But there came a time when, after being there and working on a lot of exciting stuff, my wife and I decided to move back east, and we wanted to start a family. This is all pre-pandemic. So remote working was not an option. We landed back in New York. While I was back in New York, I had some former colleagues and friends that started a new comics company called Aftershock. I joined Aftershock. A lot of Aftershock was already solidified when I had joined. So it was a really exciting startup that had already started up. And so there was really a lot of exciting stuff going on there. But one of my former colleagues also was at AMC Networks, and we were trying to do partnerships across the two different organizations. It didn't quite land, you know, where we envisioned. But my colleague at AMC Networks said, "Why don't we come over to AMC and we can really do some really robust stuff?" That's where you and I have discussed before. At AMC Networks, I was fortunate enough to kick off AMC Networks publishing, where we were focusing on high-end coffee table books, not too different from those Marvel Studio books I was referencing earlier, as well as brand new IP comics with really top-tier talent. Unfortunately, my time there as well was cut short when AMC Networks at the end of 2022 had massive layoffs across the organization, and the hammer fell on me. And that's where in 2023, I was looking for my next opportunity, and I started consulting with the Lab Press, and everything was going fantastic. And they came back with me to say, "Can you please join us full time as not only chief creative officer, but also as a partner?" So we're working on everything together, and we're super excited about this first Kickstarter, which will be launching soon. And this Kickstarter will be around Essentials, an original graphic novel that I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about. But that, I feel like, is a somewhat abbreviated version of what brings us here today.
I feel like you took me on a real adventure there, Mike. Awesome to hear your trajectory, and I appreciate you running through it. As you know, we tend to frame our episodes around, you know, different themes. When we, you know, talk to a comic book writer, we might work through their process of writing a comic book, for instance. In this case, this is a special one because I know you're here as chief creative officer for the Lab Press, and you have Essentials coming up. So I would love to talk both of those things, starting with the Lab Press in general. I know it's a new graphic novel publishing venture. Is there more you can tell us about it as a company, what you do differently? Are there things that people should know foundationally about the Lab Press before we even get into Essentials?
Absolutely. So in terms of the Lab Press, again, really exciting to work with everyone here, from our core team to beyond that, lots of really talented freelancers and previous individuals I've been lucky enough to work with and now can bring on to do some amazing work. So at the core of it, the Lab Press is about creating high-end original graphic novels with talent that not just wants to tell these stories, but needs to tell these stories. And what's exciting about these stories, too, is that they have beginning, middle, and ends. And so you can feel just as satisfied reading these graphic novels as you do for any time you read a prose book and finish it. And that sensation you get is the same sensation you'll get from these stories, again, with the beginning, middle, and end. But where that correlates with our overall mission is we don't want our relationships with these really talented writers and artists to have only a beginning, middle, and end. We want those to go for a lot longer. So our vision is there will be an ongoing relationship with these writers and artists with different stories that they really need to tell. And that in and of itself would mean a longevity of relationship with these writers and artists. And what we are envisioning is that a longevity with our audience. So instead of it being an ongoing story of the same characters and worlds that keep bringing them back and back to the lab, they'll be coming back to the lab ideally because of the high-end, high-quality, laser-focused stories that need to be told. And this talent then will again be put onto additional books in the future. And that's where we're hoping that everything would align to allow us to keep telling the stories that they need to tell and the audience keep going from book to book.
And as far as choosing the talent that you work with and the stories that they need to tell, which comes first? Are you reaching out to talent to hear what stories they may have? What's the best way and how do you choose your projects? How did you come to, you know, we can get into Essentials obviously shortly, but how did you come to choose that as your, you know, premier first IP?
That's a great question too. So I should accent that we are working with both established creators, writers, and artists, as well as up-and-coming writers and artists. And so we think it's really important to have a mix of different talent, veterans of the industry that just still have a lot more to say, as well as up-and-comers that feel like they want to leave a mark and really get their stories out there. And we approach this in various different ways and how we reconnect or connect for the first time with talent. You know, it's through a lot of previous experience either that I bring to the table. The rest of the team have always been storytellers as well in a lot of different other types of medium, as well as comics. And so it's kind of looking back on some of the stories that we felt like were kind of impactful and we can sort of take it to the next level with the lab press. Or it's just different various individuals that we just know that there's a seed of something there and we want to work with them to plant that seed and really grow the story that they want to tell and really support that. And I should also accent that the Lab Press is also looking to stay really focused on these original graphic novels. Right now, our original graphic novels are approximately 120 to 180 pages, depending on which story. And the thought there is, let's not overflood the market. We're not going to have to start too many books out, too much content. Let's give each story sort of the time and attention it needs. And that's going to come with, you know, a lot of understanding of what the vision is of the writers and artists, and then taking that again to the next level with the Lab Press and making sure everyone can read these graphic novels.
Could you break down for us what a chief creative officer is more broadly and a day in the life of Mike Zagari at the Lab Press?
Of course. Like I mentioned earlier, everything's remote. So I have everything in my home office here in New York that I need to accomplish everything. And because we're a small core team, so it's myself as chief creative officer, we have our editor in chief, we have our head of business development, and then we have our CEO publisher as that base core team. We all wear lots of hats, as you know, and as I think you've done on this great channel. You've interviewed so many individuals that also are multi-talented, and we are the four of us are bringing all of that to the table every day when we continue our vision for the Lab Press. And so, like I mentioned earlier, as chief creative officer, I wear many different hats. So some of the things that I would for my day to day would involve working directly with the artists. Whether it's cover artists or interior artists, making sure that this is the story that they want to tell and it's at the highest quality we can tell it. A lot of our cover artists, really talented individuals, may not have full context of the story or a lot of the key elements. And so it's collaborating with them so that they can do the best art they can possibly create. It's also about bringing in a lot of talent and having them start the conversation with the Lab Press and getting their work to a place that we all feel comfortable and confident would be a fantastic original graphic novel. There is a lot of day-to-day logistics of things such as supporting all of our production of our books and making sure everything is going to be at the utmost quality. It's really focusing right now on our Kickstarter launch, which would have a very robust ordering experience where it's beyond the original graphic novels themselves, which are all oversized and hardcover. We also have different tiers with different items that'll be a really fun surprises. And all of those collectibles and merchandising all still go back to the core of the story. So we try to make everything as authentic as possible. And all those items, again, will be tiered together, bundled together with the graphic novel. So it all feel really organic. And the Kickstarter ecosystem has so many other elements that need development and need to be executed, from videos to all the specialty items and a lot of other elements. So that's been our big focus the past couple months, and we see that just growing day to day.
Mike, I would love to get into Essentials specifically. I'm just going to read briefly the synopsis. Essentials is an epic reality-hopping sci-fi adventure featuring art from many talented artists. I'm going to ask you to shout everybody out at the end of this. In Essentials, mathematician Harris Pax predicted the end of the world but failed to prevent it. Now he's living alone in a bunker, and his niece's favorite toys have started talking to him. The good news? He's not the world's sole survivor. The bad news? The other survivors are trapped in alternate realities, imprisoned in imagined worlds full of zombies, robots, mythical creatures, and chaos. And now Harris Pax and an unlikely ally must travel the country on a quest to restore reality, save humanity, and defeat his new interdimensional nemesis, Snuggles. Mike, I know that there are a lot of creatives involved, and from an outside perspective, when people see that, sometimes it could think, oh, this must be an anthology, but I happen to know this is one story. So Mike, can you walk us through that and maybe shout out some of the artists that are involved?
Absolutely. And that's a great description of all of the wonderful insanity which happens in the original graphic novel. I just want to add too that it's a 140-page story, and it is just an incredible journey to go on. And we knew that this had to be our first original graphic novel to get out there because of so many reasons. And one of those reasons is what you sort of alluded to, which is the caliber of talent that's associated with it. So I'm going to start with the incredible two co-writers on the book. First, you have Luke Arnold, who is a novelist and also known as an actor of the Emmy-winning Black Sails show, which was a Starz show. And it's really exciting to have him on board. And writing alongside him is Chris Doc Wyatt. We just call him Doc for short. And Doc is an Emmy-nominated writer himself and done so many different things in terms of the writing space. He's also an indie film producer, mostly known for being a co-producer on Napoleon Dynamite. And as well as that, he's gone on to write for numerous different animated series, from Marvel Animated Series, Transformers, and one of the biggest ones is Lego Ninjago. And what's really amazing about Luke and Doc is they're both a yin and yang to each other in the most perfect way ever. They have different experiences and kind of different backgrounds, but bringing them together to tell the story that they both needed to tell, you'll see when you get a lot of the details into the storyline, how each of their perspectives shines through in the final product. You also mentioned our artists generally, and I would love to go into specific about them. So I'm going to use the word an ambitious array of artists because it's not only just the amount of tremendous talent, it's also telling one cohesive story with all of this talent. So we have a lot to list off. We have Glenn Fabry, Jason Howard, Vince Locke, Brendan McCarthy, Andrea Muti, M.K. Perker, and Danny, as well as we have the legendary Bill Sienkiewicz creating covers and additional art for us. So we're super excited for this whole array of talent, and they've each contributed to a different dimension within the storyline, which is where you'll have such different and varied art styles throughout the book.
We have a lot of writers on this podcast. Do you like what writers write? Do you like free stuff? Well, Audible is offering a free audiobook download for listeners of the Writer Experience podcast, with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I recently downloaded James Joyce's Ulysses for my commutes into the city, while our producer Harry, who may or may not exist, has been enjoying J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/writerexperience. Again, that's audibletrial.com/writerexperience for your free audiobook.
What's your favorite film of all time? It might be a sophisticated classic, a childhood favorite, or an enjoyable pile of trash you just can't help but watch over and over again. The Pick of the Flicks podcast, hosted by me, Tom Beasley, is all about celebrating people's favorite movies in whatever form they take. Each week, I interview a different guest about their chosen favorite, whether I agree with their choice or think they're as mad as one of Tom Hardy's accents. So tune in to Pick of the Flicks every week on the Flickering Myth Podcast Network and subscribe with your podcast app of choice. Maybe your favourite film will be next.
Hi, I'm George.
And I'm Sam.
And we're from the That's a Classic podcast on the Flickering Myth Network.
We both bring three films each from a certain genre and we battle it out to find out which is the ultimate classic.
So you can listen to us on Flickr and Myth, iTunes or Spotify. Check out what classic we choose every week.
As Chief Creative Officer, you listed earlier some of the roles you play. Can you walk us through what's your role in the very beginning? Can you walk us through just to get a sense of where you're involved working with all these creatives?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned sort of earlier, all of these graphic novels start with a seed of an idea. And when we discuss the ideas, either with the writers or if they're a homegrown new story and characters and worlds, then we can share with them sort of that our seed of that idea with them, that creative talent. It blossoms from that. Really looking to see if we can make that seed of an idea something that is really profound and really impactful for us. We actually have a theme that is across all of our original graphic novels. And the theme is human moments in unhinged worlds. And it's something where it allows each one of these writers and artists to really stretch their limit in terms of the location of the story, the characters, the personalities. Again, this here specifically with Essentials is a post-apocalyptic story. So you really have completely different settings, completely different styles, completely different worlds. But that, again, going back to that consistent theme that we have, all of it really boils down to human moments, human feeling moments in upside down worlds. And it's no secret that the world itself every day is getting more complicated and complex. No matter what you do or where you go, whether you go to work or you go to school or anywhere else you're doing it, it's in many ways an upside down world that we're living in, a more complicated world. And we see that and we respect that. And that's where that metaphor plays nicely into all of our stories. And we really, at the root of it, still go back to those human moments to find out why we keep doing it, why there's still hope, and why we still love the world we're in.
You mentioned that while there is an ambitious array of artists, it's one cohesive story. So how do you maintain that cohesiveness while at the same time, obviously allowing these different artists to put their own personal touch? Does that fall, I imagine, in a combination between you and the writers? How do those conversations happen throughout the process and what does it look like?
That's also a good question. I would describe it as really complex, but fun to allow everyone to, again, shine through in their own role, whether being the writer or artist for Essentials or really any of our graphic novels. And so we have certain chapters that really focus on the one of the realities, in which case, again, each artist that's working on that reality, on that chapter, can really push the envelope about the storytelling and what you can be able to do on the page. That's a part of it. We also have some spreads that are multiple artists. We specifically have one spread with four different artists. And that's where I go back to it being a little bit more complex, making sure we have all the pieces in place. And we'll do more detailed layouts and sketches, sort of pre-production work on the graphic novels to make sure everyone understands how we can bring it all together and how we can make it the most exciting story that we can imagine.
As far as getting into the actual production of Essentials, what does that look like? For those writers who are maybe listening right now, who might not know a ton about the production side of things, how do you, everywhere from deciding when Essentials is finished all the way to, I know obviously we'll get into the Kickstarter side of things, but as far as actually creating a physical product, can you walk us through that process?
Sure. And to your point, for any of the writers or aspiring writers out there, we start where a lot of original graphic novels start, which is, again, the seed of an idea. It's a pitch of an idea, a summary. And that summary would evolve into some fashion of a script. There is multiple versions of types of scripts. There could be scripts which I predominantly like to follow through, where the writer is writing to the artist. It's almost a love letter to the artist, and explaining things in a way that give the artist the capability and opportunity to tell the story and be a big part of that storytelling as well. There's also various other types of scripts, and we embrace whatever the writer feels comfortable and confident, and then the artists as well. So there's another version of type of script writing in graphic novel form where it's very high level. It's only a few sentences per page, and that really lets the artist stretch their limits and be a big part of that storytelling. And then there's the other side of the coin where you have the scripts that are very detailed, tell you not only what's going on in every panel, but maybe actually additional things that's happening in the background, the foreground. You get a really detailed script. And some artists love that because they're still putting their style and their spin on it, but they're not having to create the world completely from scratch. They got a lot of support from the writer in that fashion. So those are sort of three different scenarios of three different types of scripts that we can work with. And then from there, you know, the artist himself, again, would be doing thumbnails, doing sketches. Those sketches and thumbnails are reviewed with the writers and the rest of the lab team for sign-off. And that's really an exciting part of the process because you're really getting to the root of what the story is going to be about. From there, you go to line art. And that is what was historically known as the pencil stage has now evolved where a lot of the artists are just going straight to digital. So line art is sort of another way of describing it. And then from there, you get inked work, which again, since most of the industry has gone digital, inks aren't necessarily physical inks. They might be digital inks, but they allow the imagery to be reproduced and printed more effectively. So we still have an inking stage. And then, of course, we've got the coloring stage, which could be both physical or digital. But really, where the advancements of technology are now, we don't have as many limitations with the coloring phase. You can really push the envelope. And in some cases, you can have just full-on painted artwork that is the storytelling that we use. So from there, we'll have completed colored pages. And at some point, and sometimes this could be done in the line art or the inked phase, is we also have really talented letterers that come in and add all of the word balloons and add all of the captions and make that story really shine. I feel like that step to me always feels like a completed comic. When you have the words and the pictures on the page, that's where you've got magic happening. And that's always a really, it never fails, that it's always an exciting moment. Every single graphic novel I've been lucky enough to work on. And so that moment from the letterer has now completed all the work and everything has been reviewed and approved and it's looking fantastic. Then we start to put together the book itself. And that is the packaging portion where, again, I mentioned before, I work closely with various different artists, including cover artists, and really try to make covers that accentuate the story itself, always going back to what are we trying to say and what are those elements that not only focus on that story, but also allow the artist to make their mark, something they might be passionate about, the type of imagery, and how that connects with any of the characters or worlds. And so we approach the essentials the exact same way I just described. And we have multiple covers where each artist, and I'll describe each one briefly. You have Bill Sienkiewicz, who has created this wonderful image of the essential toys. And we're actually going to have two different variant versions of that. And then we also have a second cover by Glenn Fabry. His line work was so gorgeous that we're actually going to have both a just line work original art edition, as well as his fully colored edition by the talented Jordi Belair, who is just a phenomenal colorist. And she was so excited to lend her coloring talents on top of Glenn's artwork. And then we additionally have a gorgeous wraparound cover by Jason Howard. And it's very action-packed, which really matches Jason's expertise. So all three covers really leaned into the talent about what their interests lie and how we connect it with the story of Essentials. And then again, we were able to very organically create these variant versions based upon that caliber of art. So from there, we've got all of these a tremendous amount of artwork and story. And in the packaging phase, we've been really fortunate enough to work with the super talented Emma Price, who has done all the design work for this book and for even more for us. And she's the one who did the logo. And she even did really important symbols that you're going to see throughout the book. Specifically, the two of the symbols, and I was mentioning earlier how Luke and Doc work tremendously together. These two symbols also represent sort of different facets of them. And one symbol is the Atom logo that Emma also designed, which is supposed to represent the science portion of Essentials and what this means in the post-apocalyptic world where things are very different. And then the other symbol that actually was pulled from the pages, although slightly cleaned up and designed by Emma as well, is a flower. And this flower represents nature. And so you do have this dynamic in this post-apocalyptic world of science versus nature in a really different lens than we believe has been told before. And again, it's this dynamic of science and nature that moves things in a way that keeps things super exciting and is really at the core of the story we want to tell. So after Emma does all of this tremendous design work, and we've got the full package ready, this is where we start working closely with the printers and seeing what their recommendations or suggestions are for what our vision is. Again, I'm going to go back to my comments earlier about the lab press really trying to push the envelope about the quality of these graphic novels. So you're going to have really high-end textures of all of these hardcovers. And again, they're oversized. All of our pages will be up of the utmost highest quality pages. And we're also going to be including lots of extras that we again feel like it will really move the needle to say when people have this in their hands, they're not just going to be keeping it on their shelf. They're going to be making sure that they share it with their family and friends and keep it out on the coffee table because it's just going to be that gorgeous of a book. And that's kind of a nutshell of our process.
Getting into the next phase, which is releasing the book, let's talk about Kickstarter. Tell us how you guys decided to choose that as the initial announce or release of the book.
Definitely. And it's a great question. So we landed on Kickstarter for multiple reasons. It's a fantastic crowdfunding platform, but I want to accentuate that we're not leaning into the crowdfunding portion. This really high quality book is done. And it's actually already at the printers before we've started our Kickstarter campaign. So we're really leaning into Kickstarter more as a robust ordering platform. It's a lot of what we described earlier in terms of those different editions of the book intertwined with really high-end merchandise and collectibles and extras that you're going to absolutely love when we reveal all the details. But Kickstarter allows you to bundle those items together in a really organic way or to have even add-ons be put on really seamlessly. It also allows us for growing our library since, again, this is our first book that we're releasing, but behind the scenes, we have additional books that we're super excited to share when the time is right. And Kickstarter then has already a fantastic community where if you like graphic novel A, you're more likely to discover graphic novel B. And so it's a great place for us to be so that we can grow the library for the notes of discoverability and people can find it and order it very cleanly and easily. And it just brings everything together for us in a perfect place.
Now that we've talked about Essentials, tell us what's next for the lab. What can we expect as a company as far as upcoming titles? Tell us what's coming up.
Sure. So again, the lab is really laser focused on building strong and long-term partnerships with our audience. And that stems from our vision of having the same profound long-term relationship with our writers and artists. So when our creators show off their passion in new and exciting ways, the audience will share those same sentiments. And we actually have a good amount of projects developing behind the scenes, like I alluded to earlier. But we also want to give each book the celebratory focus that they deserve. So I think I'm just going to share that as a general answer to your question, that we've got a lot of really amazing stuff, a lot of amazing talent, but we want to make sure now is the time to focus on essentials and really talk about that. And we'll be excited to share more on the other books at the right time.
Mike, I would love to, before we go and wrap up, I would love to get into a couple bonus questions that we always ask our guests. The first one being, if you could take any writer, living or dead, to any fast food restaurant, which writer, which restaurant, and why? It doesn't have to be fast food. We always preface it that way. But if you choose to pick any other restaurant, that's fine. You may have answered this question many years ago, but it's likely that you may not remember what you chose. So let's just pick something new, writer and restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I don't recollect how I answered this question previously. I'm just going to share a quick fun fact to say I'm a big fan of David Lynch's work, from all of his film work to Twin Peaks, even the work as a writer. And he had an interesting perspective on this, which I'm going to paraphrase. I may not even get it right, which is that he wants everyone to treat his work as if the original creator, the original writer, has passed away years ago. So he kind of wants to keep in the category of never meet your heroes, right? But I'm going to defy his comment and say it would be absolutely wonderful to sit with David Lynch, talk story, talk comics, because he also actually loves comics, and most likely to do that in New York City Diner, the number one spot where there has to be, absolutely has to be, some pretty damn fine coffee and some really wonderful pie.
Very last question. It is the question that basically ends every one of these episodes. And that question is, if you could choose one learning or one insight from your entire career to pass along to the writers who are listening, what would you say?
That's an amazing question. I don't remember you asking that one before. Give me a moment here to think. There's so much wonderful experiences I had. As we've discussed, I've been really lucky enough to work at really amazing places. Marvel and DC Comics, AMC Networks, everything has been fantastic. Sometimes people lose sight that even though these are massive companies, massive entertainment companies, and just really creating world's best stories and content, it's really run by people. And so that's something I just absolutely never forget. It's the people and those relationships and things I've learned or individuals that I've gotten to kind of grow my relationship with. The people is really what is getting things accomplished, making those stories happen, keeping everyone excited onto the next thing. And it sometimes gets lost where people kind of do a blanket statement about a lot of these big entertainment companies. That, again, isn't accurate when you think about the people itself who are running it, really passionate about this stuff. And so never forget the people behind the curtains.
Last and most important question, did you have fun today talking about, obviously, the Lab Press, Essentials, your role as Chief Creative Officer, and, you know, just everything in between?
This has been an incredible, wonderful conversation, Cort. I'm so glad, again, you invited me on. I always enjoy talking to you and Harry, and today was just another wonderful conversation that we can have, and super looking forward to having a conversation again sometime soon.
If you're listening, you can get Essentials on Kickstarter now. Essentials is an epic reality-hopping sci-fi adventure. Mike, thank you so much. I always describe these interviews as a short flight from New York City to Toronto. By the time you're in the air, you're already landing. I hope we were able to do everything justice, and I hope that you had fun today.
Definitely did, and this was fantastic. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. And did you want to plug anything, Mike, before you leave? Website, social media, the Lab Press website, anything?
No, I think the big thing for us is just following the Lab Press. We're all over social. And I think the big one that we've been talking about the most is coming onto Kickstarter and finding the Essentials page and picking the right tier that works for you and ordering a copy today.
We'll drop that link in the description of this episode. So if you're listening, please participate in history. This is the first book for the Lab Press, and there's going to be a lot more. So get in now. Thanks again, Mike. It's really been an honor and a privilege, as it always is. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cort.
Thank you, and thanks to our listeners. We hope to see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to The Writer Experience. If you enjoyed the episode today, please leave a rating, a review, and a comment on iTunes. You can also check us out on Instagram at Writer Experience and Twitter and Facebook at Writer EXP. The Writer Experience is a Samurai Dinosaur production. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved. Music by Kevin MacLeod.